dead in their towers. Anybody washed in the blood, born again without a doubt. Stand up and catch the fire. God be glorified. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness? I've got first-hand information. Listen to what God's done for me. It's a remarkable transformation from what I used to be. Once I was a losing sinner. I was weak in my spiritual fitness. By His grace, I became a winner, and that made me an expert witness. Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt. Stand up and testify. God be glorified. Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness? That have gone before us. They were tried by opposition, yet they testified with boldness. They were proud to be called Christian. Like them, don't be ashamed. Just live what you profess. Stand up in Jesus' name, because you've been called to be a witness. Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this hour? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt. Stand up and testify. God be glorified. Have we been blessed? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Are there any believers in this house? Anybody washed in the blood? Born again without a doubt. Stand up and testify. God be glorified. Have we been blessed? Can I get a witness? Haven't we been blessed? Can I get a witness?
Amen. Hey, man, I'm about to tell you something tonight. People that aren't enjoying their Christianity aren't doing it right. Amen. I've been all them years and on the street all them years and gangs and the bars and all that stuff, really, for one reason. I want to have a good time. Amen. Man, I got saved 19 years ago, and I've had a better time. Amen. Look at it. It's Friday night, and we're not home. Amen. We're out. We're out and about. We're partying. Amen. Glory. Amen. I like it. All right. What do you want to do? Okay. Do something. Do something. You get an A plus, by the way. She's the principal. I'm in charge of field trips. We had a great week last week, field tripping. Amen. This is alphabetical, so that's why you're having a hard time. She uses a different alphabet than I do. Well, you gonna sing this one? Amen. All right.
Call on God, but our nation in her prime has turned her back upon the right, and the clouds of evil threaten to turn glory into night. Strong wickedness has crept in like a cold and bloody thief. Those who know the Lord and do His work stand by in disbelief. For the love of God and country, we must not cease for a day. For the future of our children, we must lift our hearts and pray. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. All in line with the gates of Your power. Turn the tide. fighting everywhere, breaking down foundations, twisting laws and setting snares. He would take away our freedom and replace it with despair. And he laughs at those opposing him as if they were not there. But the children cannot sit back. They must stand up and defend. For the battle is not over till our king declares the end.
We must work and fight and beat him, not as those that beat the air. For the greatest weapon in our hand is strong and fervent prayer. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power.
And it seems that all ungodliness is knocking at our door.
We must never give up hope. We must not let them win the war. We must plead with him who has the power to cleanse and to restore. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide of your power, stem the flood of wickedness, restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide,
stem the flood of wickedness, restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide.
That's enough singing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Over in Ezekiel 22, the Lord is seeking for a man to stand in a gap for the land, and the scripture records, but he found none. And as I read through my King James Bible, I think that's one of the saddest verses in there. But I tell you what, the day and age where many have written our country off, I'm not ashamed to say I love America. God called me to America. I'm an evangelist. Amen. And I preach in churches, and I want to see my countrymen get saved. And there's a lot of wickedness going on, but amen. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ came for. Call sinners to repentance. So maybe if some of us would just get a hold of standing in a gap, amen, we can make a difference. I believe that's true. If I didn't believe that was true, I don't know what this would be for. This isn't just something nice to do, a social gathering, something like that. We've got the ear, if you will, of the eternal God. And boy, I tell you what, I'd sure like to provoke everybody in here to pray for our country. Pray for our country. Some more Americans need to get saved. Amen. And amen. With that being said, open your Bible tonight. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Now we're going to be pulling out in the morning. And I just, I need to say that it has been a joy to be with you. It has been a real blessing. We've been here forever. About 2.5 weeks, and somebody would be glad when that old Winnebago's out of your parking lot, maybe, but I just want to say that I have never been treated better, and I have never experienced better hospitality than I have here, and I get treated well everywhere, most places, and places where it hadn't been so good, I'm in no hurry to go back, but I'm looking forward to coming back here, if the Lord tarries, and I just want to thank you, much kindness, meals, there's been a lot of things provided, and most of all, encouragement in the Lord and friendship, and I covet your prayers, and you've got ours. And so we love you in the Lord, We thank you for letting us come. I don't think I'm anybody. I can sit under your preacher for a week and come away better. And if that's what the Lord told me to do, I'd do it. But you've been patient and good this week. Many of you have been here every night. Some of you have come all that you can, and that's not a small thing. And I don't think of it that way. It's been a real honor for me to stand here and open the Bible and preach to you, and I just want to thank you, and I mean it with all my heart. Amen? Amen. Psalm 16 tonight. Let's just begin reading in verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is indeed above every name, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess, Lord, we come to You in that name tonight and pray and ask, Lord God, that You bless this church, the families, the needs, the folks that need to be saved. Lord, bless those that fervently pray for them and bring their name before the throne of grace and before their brothers and sisters in Christ, so that they might pray for them. I pray that the fruit of their lips, Lord God, would be the eternal salvation of those that You've burdened their heart. I pray, God, that You'd never bring us to a point where our hearts aren't burdened for the lost around us, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that You'd bless every ministry from this church. Lord God, whether it's on the street and the mission or the printing ministry, I pray that You'd bless it mightily and use it greatly for Your honor and glory. I pray, Lord God, that this church would stand for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ until You call us out of here. And I pray, Lord, as long as it be Thy will, You'd allow me to be friends with this church, fellow soldiers, fellow laborers, Lord. And Father, it be Thy will to just come back as often as Thou will, not my will, Thine. Father, I pray now tonight that You bless the message. And Lord, as we leave here tonight at the end of many days in church and 11 messages, Father, I pray that any stirring of the Holy Ghost, any revival experienced by anyone, any commitment made, any decision purposed in the heart of a believer this week, Lord, I pray that that wouldn't diminish and be forgotten, but that real revival would manifest itself in the change in our lives in the day to come as we embrace the Word of God and the author of it. Father, thank You for the honor and privilege to be here. Bless these folks that have come tonight and those that couldn't come. And I just thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. All right, now, if you didn't get a chance, I know it's busy, and if you didn't get a chance to read a chapter of your Bible today, you just did. You just did. I helped you out. Amen. Brother said last night, need to read the Bible every day. Well, you just got Psalm 16 in. And let me say this about it. In verse 11, it says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. And it says, In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, to some that might be coincidental that Psalm 16:11 speaks of life. The Bible says these are the words of life. Amen. The Bible says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And the brother gave great testimony last night. Listen, in thy presence is fullness of joy. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Somebody asked one time, Brother Spurgeon, what do you think the reason for all the sin is within Christianity? It's simple. Lack of Bible in our heart. Amen. That's deep, isn't it? And then it says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Probably just coincidence. Psalm 16:11. Thank God for the Bible tonight. Thank God that what we got tonight is Bible Christianity. Amen. I didn't get religion. I got saved. I got a relationship with God. Amen. With the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you got saved, that's what you got tonight. But that's not what I'm preaching on. It's just, you know, how do you not say something about that? Verse 6. David says this. The lines are fallen unto me in the pleasant plains. No, pleasant places. Close, huh? Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. He says, the lines are fallen unto me. And when I started thinking about that verse, the first thing I thought about was battle lines. Amen. I'm an old soldier. And he said, the lines are falling unto me. David was a military man. David was the greatest general in the Bible. Amen. He was the mightiest of the mighty men. Amen. I didn't mean to hurt Joshua's feelings by saying that. You may have a different opinion, but you can't differ on this fact right here. David was a soldier. Amen. And he says, the lines are falling unto me, but he may have been talking about the boundary lines too, amen. He had an inheritance, amen. He had Israel to protect, and whether the lines were battle or boundary, he knew this. He knew that something had been passed down to him. It says, the lines are fallen unto me. And he knew this. He had an obligation to those that preceded him. And he also knew that he was of the right stuff to meet that obligation, because he said, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. And I want to preach you tonight on that thought, goodly heritage. And let me say to you tonight, First Bible Church, that the lines are falling unto you and I. Amen. Be they battle lines in the spiritual battle or the boundary lines, amen, to hold fast, not let the enemy overtake, amen. Hey, listen, it's time for us to quit giving up ground, amen. The lines are falling at us, and truth of the matter is, there's something I've come to know in this last week is some a little more about your goodly heritage here. And I've heard references to Brother Sabaka. When I first got saved, that was a name that was mentioned in the same context as Lester Roloff and other men of God that had just gone out and took a stand, whether it was popular or unpopular, and made a difference. And he's one of the old soldiers that I never met him. Amen. But I know this, in the course of this week, some of you came here from Ohio 30 years ago with him, and some of you are saved tonight because of that move, because of that effort. Some of you are saved tonight because of the goodly heritage you have with this church. And the lines have fallen unto you. And this reminds me, when I was in airborne school back in 1972, when we went into the indoctrination center for the paratroopers down in Fort Benning, Georgia, there were emblems, amen, unit patches, huge, all around the room, amen. The unit John Schoenbeck was a member of, was up there, the 11th Airborne, served honorably in World War II and in Korea, amen. John, as far as that goes with the paratroopers, has a goodly heritage, and they would drill not only what we needed to learn to do our job in combat after hitting the ground from an airplane while in flight. They taught us about the history of the paratroopers. They taught us about units. They taught us about heroes. They taught us about Medal of Honor winners. They taught us they wanted us to learn our heritage, so it'd fire us up. But when we got in a spiritual battle, amen, we'd understand that the lines had fallen to us and that we had a goodly heritage. I want to preach to you tonight about your goodly heritage tonight in the family of God. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I believe this is the way the Lord would want this thing to be wrapped up. I want to encourage you tonight. In chapter 11, book of Acts, verse 26. And when he had found him, this is Barnabas and Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. If you're saved here tonight, amen. If you've got a desire, amen, to live for God, to learn about God, amen, then this is your heritage right here. If this isn't, it wasn't the multitude of those that believed, it said disciple, amen. There's a process there. There were believers, and then there were disciples. Disciple comes from that word discipline. These are some people that applied themselves, amen. These are some folks that weren't just hearers, amen, but doers also, amen, and they got a name. They got a name back in Antioch, amen, and it was Christian. And I'll tell you something, that word wasn't given to them as a compliment. It was a derogatory nickname awarded, just the same way derogatory nicknames get awarded to anybody in this day and age, whether it's racial or what part of the country, people get names given to them because they're different. And I'm going to tell you something, these folks got labeled with the name Christian because when Christ entered their lives, something changed. That book says if you're a new creature in Christ, things change. Things are supposed to. And now this is our heritage. Let me tell you, listen, I've been called a lot of things. Most of them were true. The best thing I've ever been called is a Christian. Amen. And I look back at this early church, and I'm going to give you some things about this early church. And I want to remind you tonight that if you're saved, you got a goodly heritage. Amen. And you got some, there's some foundational things laid down, amen, that were laid down not just for them, but for you and I tonight. And hey, the lines have fallen onto you and I, and we've got a goodly heritage. What does that mean? We're of the right stuff, amen, to meet the obligation that God put on us. Amen. We got it. We got it. Why? Because we got that right there. And we got Him. We got it. We got what we need. Let me preach to you now for a minute. First of all, let me say about this this church, amen, that they were united. Look, go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to give you a couple examples here in the Bible. And it says in verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord in one place." Amen. One accord. I understand the context. I understand these were Jews. But let me tell you something tonight. What they had going for them in this, what the early church had going for them was unity. Unity. The motto for the America. Amen. I'm not going to the Greek. I'll just skip right to the Latin. E pluribus unum. Amen. You know what that means? I don't either. It means this. I gotta look. From many, pluribus, plural. Unum, unity, one. Amen. That's the symbol of the United States. Many different people, many states, amen, many territories, one nation. I'm gonna tell you something, that's what we got going. Man, Christians are as diverse a bunch of people as there could be, man. I'm going to tell you what, but if we got the blood of Jesus Christ in common, we got something we need to embrace. We need to hold dear than anything we got different. That's unity. These folks had unity. They were in one accord, one place. Chapter 4. Go to chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, let's read in verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Listen, this is not the groundwork for socialism here. That I've seen people you try to use this. Amen. This is not a nation. This is not a government. This is a family. Amen. And families are supposed to have this unity. Amen. They're supposed to look out for each other. That's what you got going on here. This is our heritage, man. I'm going to tell you what I thank God tonight. He didn't just write my name in the book of life. Amen. For when this life's over, he put me in the family of God while this life's going on. I like that. Amen. Hey, listen, I've never been around better folks than Christians. And I've been around a mess of folks in my life. Amen. It says this in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand, listen, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's our heritage, beloved. That's the framework, that's the groundwork for what we now call the church. Amen. These folks had some things down. They didn't have much going for them at all, but they were of one mind, one spirit, striving together for the glory of Jesus Christ. And that, what else are we supposed to be doing? That's a goodly heritage. I read a book this year. It was given to me for my birthday. It's called Lone Survivor by Marcus Luttrell. Anybody read that in here? Marcus Luttrell was the lone survivor of SEAL Team 4, I believe it was, Operation Red Wing. 3-4 years ago, four men went in on a mission in Afghanistan, four Navy SEALs, highly trained men. And they ended up going against 200 Taliban. And three of them were killed, and Marcus Luttrell was shot up pretty bad. One of them even got the Medal of Honor, one of the SEALs that was killed there, Lieutenant Murphy, got the Medal of Honor. And boy, they told a story in this book how those four men, highly trained, I'll give them that, took on, I'm going to tell you something, they took that thing about watching each other's back very seriously. Amen. Unity. Powerful, powerful weapon in the good fight of faith. Amen. And that's why the spiritual attack often comes in a way to separate us, to divide us, to disrupt our unity. That's why the Bible says, sowing discord among the brethren is an abomination to God. Because that's what the devil does. He seeks to divide and to destroy. I'm going to tell you something. Our goodly heritage, amen, comes from some people that had this thing about unity down pat. And but I tell you what, that's what we should have down pat, is unity. They had something else too. Verse 31, I wanted to, same chapter, Acts chapter 4, look at verse 31. First of all, tonight, they were unified, our goodly heritage, and we can be, and we need to be. Somebody say amen. And they had something else. They had one solution to every problem. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, you see that? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Now what you got right there is the evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost. Now despite what anybody else tried to misinterpret it being, the Bible says there that when these folks, they prayed together, they were assembled together, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, all of them, and the result of it was this, they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I'll tell you what the evidence of the Holy Ghost is. You won't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. I told that fella that I was dead up here while he prayed. I didn't lead him anywhere. He got a hold of Jesus Christ. He got saved Sunday morning. And I said, that Bible says, and the scripture says, whosoever believes in him should not be ashamed. I said, you need to go tell somebody. and that was a little awkward. And I'd say, well, there's somebody. And he'd go there and say, well, I just need to get my life on track. And I'd tap him on the shoulder. I'd look at him. I got saved. Yeah, praise the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to tell you what. These folks right here, they had one source of power. They didn't have much going for them. They didn't have all the resources that we have. Amen. They couldn't get online. They couldn't Google. They couldn't text. How did these words become verbs anyway? I don't understand. Amen. I'm from another generation, that's for sure. But I'm going to tell you what. You know what these folks had? Their resource was getting on their knees, getting on their face before God, and talking to God Himself. They had one source of power. No, they had one. That's the next point. They had one solution to every problem. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. You're familiar with it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And will show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Amen. Listen, I've done that. I've had to do that. I've been discouraged. I've been at the end of my rope. I've been in places in my Christian life where things were going on around me didn't make any sense. I've been provoked to say, God, why is this happening? And God would remind me, hey, dummy, you know, I'm in charge here. Amen. Listen, I've got on my face and I said, God, would you show me a great and mighty thing? And you know what I'd do then? I'd look for it. I'd look up. Listen, I'll tell you what, I know some Christians, they spent 10, 20 years with their nose to the grindstone. Great and mighty things have been happening all around them and they didn't even know it. They didn't even catch it. They weren't looking for it. I hope you're looking for it. Brethren, tonight, when you pray, look up. God's doing great and mighty things. William Carey said this. He said, expect great things from God. And then, therefore, attempt great things for God. Amen. Some of us, man, are content. We're just holding on, amen, by the skin of our teeth. Some of us got fingernail imprints in our pew waiting for the Lord to come back. Listen, man, we need to do some praying. We need to ask God to do some stuff. Amen. We wouldn't be so timid. Listen, I heard a story. I was looking some things up, and I read this. And there's four guys, they've been through seminary together, and they're getting ready to graduate. One of them, three of them were all excited, and one of them was kind of depressed. And so one of the guys asked him, and he said, man, what's wrong? He said, well, I've been here 4 years. I've been here 4 years, and I'm getting ready to graduate. I have 4 years of college. Now, it was a Christian college. But he said, not one girl has ever gone out on a date with me. And all of a sudden, the guy realized that as they got down to the end of his college career, amen, now he hadn't had one date. And now instead of being happy, he's depressed. And the guy said, well, man, you know, and it had occurred to one of the guys, and he said this to him. He said, how many girls do you ask out since you've been here? And the guy said, well, none, but I'm going to tell you what, that's the way we are. He said, well, I've never seen God do it. Have you asked him? That book says, if you have not, because you ask not. Boy, these folks here, man, they didn't have much else, but they got together. They were assembled in one place. Hey, Bible says when they prayed, the place was shaken. They had one source of power. Boy, we got too many distractions. Maybe we need to go back to where we've got one source of power. That Bible says, pray without ceasing. That Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Man, I've been on my face praying, man, in times where everything in the world was coming apart, but I had the peace of God in my heart. Our goodly heritage, amen, knew how to get a hold of God, knew how to submit themselves to God, knew how to listen to the still small voice of God. That's the next point. They had one source of power. They had unity. They had one solution to every problem. What should we do? Let's ask God. Duh! What an old-fashioned method that is, you know. Then they had one source of power. Luke 24 and 49 says this, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Amen. I got saved, and then 11 months later in a rescue mission in Columbus, Ohio, I got called to preach. Now I was supposed to go to prison 2 weeks later, and so I was going to live for God. I was going to try to learn the Bible. I was going to preach to convicts. Amen. That's my crowd anyway. And then the Lord in His well, in his mercy, if nothing else, didn't send me to prison, gave me 5 years probation and things like that. A Jewish federal judge sentenced me to 1,000 hours community service on a cocaine charge. 1,000 hours community service over a 5 year period. And the full-blooded Jewish judge, this judge, the community service was this right here. He says, I want you to tell people how you got off drugs, how you got off liquor, and how you got out of organized crime motorcycle gangs. A Jewish judge. He had just asked me that for the federal record. He said, what accounts for the change in you? I said, I got saved, Your Honor. And a full-blooded Jewish judge sentenced me to 1,000 hours community service to tell other people what, that they needed to get saved? Boy, if that wasn't a confirmation of a call to preach, I don't know what is. Amen. So here I am, fired up, man. I'm ready to go, chomping at the bit. Amen. People are dying and going to hell. I mean, I got 2 or 3, maybe 4 verses memorized by now. I've read at least half the Bible. I'm ready to go out there, set the world on fire. I said, preacher, what should I do now? He said, you need to sit down and shut up for about 5 years. My pastor is about that tall. I looked at him, and then the Lord said, back off, and I did. Amen. I'm glad I listened. Because, see, I had this zeal. I had a call, but I didn't have any power. And you know what these folks here were told? You stay at Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Amen. Anybody that's got a call on their life, amen, and to be honest with you, we'll save this message for next year. We all have a call on our life. But I tell you what that call is. That call is to get the Word of God in your heart so the Spirit of God got something to bear witness to when the circumstances, God orchestrates the circumstances so that you'll be ready to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. What are you going to tell them? You going to give them your opinion? People don't need your opinion. They don't need my opinion. They need that book right there. They need the Word of God. Amen. And here's that crowd, and they were told in Luke chapter 24, they were told to say, tarry ye. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the book says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They didn't need more education. They weren't waiting for their experience. It didn't matter what their camp was doing. They weren't emailing their friends to see what they should do. They didn't go to the library or get online. Amen. They didn't have a brainstorming seminar to see what great method we can come up with. They just got together, unified, in prayer, waited on the Holy Spirit of God to give them the power of God, so that not a new method might come into play, but so that God could use them and empower them for the old method. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Amen. We don't need to come up with something new. We need to go back to something old. Amen. I tell you what, if we do, we'll stick out like a sore thumb, because that's what everybody else. Everybody else is trying to figure out what to do. Amen. I'm not trying to figure out what to do. I'm just trying to do what I know I'm supposed to do. Trying to figure out how. Yeah, that verse finished in Jeremiah 6. But they said, we will not walk therein. Boy, I don't want to be guilty of that tonight, do you? We have a goodly heritage. Boy, that early church, man, the foundation of the church had some unity. They didn't have much else, but they had all things common. They took care of each other. They looked out after each other. Man, there was a time people were being killed. People were being slain back then. Amen. And in the years after, they were being killed for being identified as Christians. They were presenting themselves a living sacrifice, and it was costing them their lives. Up until just 500 years ago, Christians were being killed just for hiding portions of Scripture. Now we've got a print shop, and we got the ability to print it. We can't get the help we need. We can't get the resources we need. And nobody's life in danger. little of our resources are in danger, a little of our times, and we've come a long way, haven't we? David said, the lines are fallen unto me, and be they battle or boundary, the same goes for you and I tonight. We are 21st century Christians. The Lord has not seen fit to come back yet. The work's not done. We're to be at it. But we have a goodly heritage. We've had great examples. Boy, you read through the early church history, you find out, man, there's one of those hymns, man, I can't. We walk the ground the saints have trod. That sends shivers through my very being. We have a goodly heritage tonight. And we can have unity and we can have one source to every problem. We can go to God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. How are you going to do that? You get on your knees and you say, God, I'm not proceeding until I got the peace of God right here. That's a goodly heritage. Amen. And then they had one source of power, is the Holy Ghost. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Boy, I tell you what, wonder what we could do if we were led by the Spirit of God more. See, here's the deal. We live in a world, man. I mean, I'm driving down the road. I come up to a light one time. I don't even remember what state it was in. Doesn't matter. And you hear the boom, 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 boom. And I mean, it's five cars back. And then some guy blasting this noise, thinking, man, I feel sorry for that guy, his ears and everything. And people, three rows up, man, of cars are rolling up their windows. It was so loud. I'll tell you something. The devil, I mean, even Christians sometimes, you're not careful. We can have so much volume in our lives. We wouldn't know. The volume of the junk of our life obscures the still small voice of God. Some of us wouldn't recognize the Spirit of God's voice if He sat in a pew next to us. Boy, our heritage knew that their source of power was the Holy Ghost. And so ought it be for you and I. Amen. 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 We don't need another website. Amen. We need to get on our face for God. Amen. Number four. Number four. I don't have any three-point messages. You know, there's an old thing about 3 points in a poem. You know, do I look like a poet? Come on. So that's why I don't have any three-point messages. Amen. Jesus was real to these folks. He was real to these folks. This is your heritage now. It says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore He is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Boy, I'll tell you what, he should be real to you. I'll tell you why. He's alive. He's ever liveth. We're talking about a goodly heritage tonight. The lines are falling unto us tonight, and we have a goodly heritage. Look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And it says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's what a whole chapter 11 has to do with, a great cloud of witnesses. Amen. That great cloud of witnesses, and that's our goodly heritage, that crowd right there. And I'm telling you something tonight. It says in verse 2 in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm telling you what, Jesus was real to these people. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured that cross. He despised that shame. We said the other night, He was made to be sin for us. What did He do it for? For the joy that was set before Him. What joy is that? Well, if I may, the joy that He got when Margaret got saved Monday night. For the joy that He got on Sunday morning when them two men got saved. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why He was beaten beyond recognition. That's why He was nailed to a cross. That's why He was crucified. Because the joy that He got the day you got saved. I'm going to tell you something. What could... You better keep that day real. Because that'll keep him real. Boy, we can get caught up and swallowed up with the cares and affairs of this life. But our goodly heritage tonight, Jesus was real to him. Amen. And he needs to be real to us. We know this. He died on the cross. That's where religion, that's where this world wants to keep him. They laid him in a tomb and they'd like to keep him there too. One crowd keeps him on the cross. One crowd keeps him as a baby in a manger once a year. One crowd wants to keep him in a tomb. He ain't no tomb. The tomb's empty. That tomb's very empty. Amen. They can't. They can't keep him in any of those places. He died for our sins. Amen. He on the third day, he rose again. Amen. He's alive. He's alive today. He's real to me. Is he real to you? He is real to these guys. Our heritage. And if we're going to have a heritage, follow us. If we're ever going to be anybody else's heritage, he better be real to us. Amen. Amen. Muhammad's not alive. Buddha's not alive. Joseph Smith's not alive. Jesus is alive. Amen. Let me see. What year is this? 2009. In 1993, a friend of mine, a pastor in Mexico, asked me to come down and speak at his camp meeting. I've been saved just over 2 years, and I was on federal probation, and I told my probation officer that I wanted to request a federal judge. I had to have a traveling pass to leave the Southern District of Ohio. I was on federal paper, very highly supervised, and but I would. The judge sends me to tell others about Jesus, so I would apply for permission to go to North Carolina or Florida, wherever, and do a youth rally or something like that. And I applied. I said, listen, I need permission. I need traveling papers to go to Matamoros, Mexico, to a big meeting. And my probation officer, she looked at me and said, you're out of your mind, Brother Spurgeon, or Mr. Spurgeon. She said, no federal judge is going to give a federal drug felon permission to leave the country, especially to go to another drug country. Amen, Mexico, big problems there. And you're out of your mind. And I just said, well, I've been praying about this, and you know, and I just figure if you'll put in the request, if Lord wants me to go. And she looked at me like I was out of my mind, like she looked at me a lot of times. And she never did. She wouldn't put in the request. It's like the lawyer I told you about the other day. So my pastor, my brother Gretchen, he wasn't a pastor yet, he wrote a letter directly to the judge. And I got a call from my probation officer. She said, Mr. Spurgeon, I need to see you. I went down there. I was used to that, too. I went down there to the federal building. Everybody there knew me, man. I gave track to everybody in the federal building. I gave track out to the Social Security office one day. They said, no, you're supposed to be up at the marshal office. I don't know. I just stopped here to give you something to read here. Hey, there are a lot of people hanging around there with a lot of time on their hands, too. Amen. I went up there to the probation officer. He said, Mr. Spurgeon, I've got a traveling permit here for you to go to Mexico. I said, thank you. She just looked at me, you know. She goes, you went over my head, didn't you? I said, well, if I prayed, if that's what you mean. So many things happened during the course of that 5 years. And I went down there, and I got my little travel permit, and here I am crossing a border in another country. I'm a federal convicted felon on paper then. And I went to a camp meeting, and they're in a church. They got a concrete block building that our church sent them the money to build. And they don't have windows in yet. Things go different down there. I was in one church in a meeting. They didn't have the roof on. That didn't stop nothing. Amen. They'd sit in church with an umbrella. Amen. No roof yet, but they'd still. Concrete blocks up on end with two by eights running across. That, they were glad to have that. They'd be standing up. There'd be 150 people standing in the back of the room. 500 people sitting on. All of them speaking Spanish except me. I don't know nothing that's going on. Except this, these people are very excited about God, worshiping. I'm going to tell you what, I didn't even need a translator, man. The Spirit was bearing witness. Amen. I got up and preached and 7 people got saved. Amen. Anybody could have preached there. These people were excited about God. The next day, the pastor took us out and we visited some of the little churches and went to some of the neighborhoods. They didn't even have paved streets. They had houses. There'd be 10 or 12 people living in a house no bigger than this area up here. They'd have parked their cars. One of them had cars a block or two away and walk down mud streets because it had been raining. And just to get to where they could get on public transportation or their car to come to church. They'd come to church in the morning. They'd stay all day. 60% of an average working man's income went to buy beans and tortillas every day for his family to eat. Amen. And boy, I got walking around and I remember, I could see why the night before these people were so excited about God. They didn't have nothing else. He was the biggest thing in their life. And of course, by the time I realized that, I realized why he's not near as big a thing to us as he should be. He was no more their Savior than he is yours. They didn't have any more right to be excited about Jesus Christ than you or I. He didn't have any reason to be more real to them than he is to you. He saved you, same blood, same grace. But the testimony is, we got so much other stuff. Let me ask you something. Is he real to you tonight? Preacher said people talk about the Lord, use his name in vain. I've been worked with people in construction and they, yeah, the man upstairs, he's not the man upstairs. He's God. He's the living God. He's the mighty God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the bright and morning star. He's the author and finisher of our faith tonight. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Amen. The Lord of Lords Amen. Tonight. He's my God. Amen. Is he yours? Jesus is real. This is our heritage. It was about him. You know why Christians have so many problems? Because they get all wrapped up in themselves. And it's, well, I and me, and I don't, and what if we got him back on the throne where he belonged one time? Wonder what happened. I hope he's real to you. Because you're real to him. Amen. I talked to a guy who said, I don't believe in God. I said, well, don't worry, he believes in you. He believes in you. You wouldn't be breathing. I'm going to tell you something. God believes in you. He loves you. You're real to him. He cares about you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The lions have fallen unto me, and I have a goodly heritage. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Here's where I say, I'm almost done. And you know me well enough to know that may or not be accurate. That keeps you on your toes. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. You're familiar with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I'm sure, I hope, if not, get familiar. You can read it yourself. You don't need me. You got a Bible. Amen. Verse 35, Acts chapter 8, Philip's witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch. And it says this, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's who this guy needed to hear about. He needed Jesus. He didn't need to know about Jesus. You know what the History Channel does? It teaches about Jesus. That's where they want to keep him, in history. Jesus Christ isn't in history. He's the most current event there is. I'll tell you what, he's future events too, because he's coming back. Amen. Amen. You know what Philip didn't do? I looked through that passage. I read it. I preached this passage. Philip, this guy was a religious guy. This guy had been to Jerusalem for the feast. He's returning. He's reading Isaiah 53. And Philip did not slice and dice this guy to pieces about everything he was doing wrong. He just preached unto him Jesus. You know what this guy needed? Same thing you needed. Same thing I needed. Needed Jesus Christ. Philip perceived a man in need and he told him about Jesus. What do you do? What do you do when you get a chance to witness and you take the time? Do you just start slicing and dicing? I can't think of a better way to put it. People need the Lord, amen? I have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. This world doesn't need another religion. It doesn't need another denomination. This world needs Jesus Christ. And our goodly heritage got a hold of that. And that's what they're about, and that's what we need to be about. Amen? There's a building in Ohio between Toledo and Dayton, and it says, Christ is the answer, big letters on the side of the... I mean, you used to see it from the freeway. Christ is the answer. And I used to drive by that thing and wonder, what's the question? Well, Paul asked, what must I do to be saved? Christ is the answer. Amen. He said, what would you have me to do? Christ is the answer. People ask, what's the meaning of life? Christ is the answer. What's the duty of man? Christ. Christ! Christ is the answer! Amen. This world's walking around, man, with so many questions, and they don't have a clue, and we've got the answer. And we walk around just like them. They'll never get the answer. He's got to be real. Not just something to do on the weekends. This thing, Bible, Christianity, salvation, is not just a list of things we do and don't do anymore. Man, it's got to be real. The lines are falling onto us. Listen, we're at the end of this thing. We're in the last days. That's a very exciting time to live. It says in Acts chapter 17, and when they had found him, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And if we could get as focused on Jesus Christ as our goodly heritage, you know what we do? We could turn the world upside down for a few folks, maybe one soul at a time. Somebody came and told me about Jesus, and it turned my world upside down. And that's our goodly heritage tonight. Psalm 16:6, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And for First Bible Church, the lines are falling to you. And you know, I've got to know some of you a little bit and a little bit more about your history, and the lines are falling unto you. And you have a goodly heritage here. And it's been a real honor and privilege to get to know you a little bit better and serve the Lord with you. Some of you, second, third, maybe more generation Christians. You got a goodly heritage, don't you? Some of you are first generation Christians. I hope you're not the last. I hope you're not the last generation. I hope that you'll get in and get in church and get in the Bible and get on your knees and learn about your heritage, about the unity that God established for the church, about the power of prayer and of the Holy Ghost. Keep the Lord. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what, there'll be another generation and another, if the Lord tarries. I hope he doesn't. I hope he comes. But if he does, if he tarries another 20 years, this is still the best life I could ever imagine. Amen? Amen. So what they had, you can have. Unity, prayer, power, the Lord Jesus Christ. What this world needs is Jesus Christ. Amen? They need something real. He's real. He's worth living for. This isn't a game. I'm too old, too tired to play games. Boy, I'm glad I finally got a hold of something that isn't going to change in a year or two, like the fads and fashions and people of this world. Amen. Got a goodly heritage tonight? Some responsibility goes with it. Let's pray. I'm done. Father, thank you for the liberty to preach this. I pray it was an encouragement, a blessing, a provocation, Lord, to rejoice in what we've got, purpose in our heart, to do something with it. Bless this church. Lord, if there's anybody in here tonight not saved, they can establish a earthly heritage tonight, Father, and get in on ours. I pray you make it easy for them to get saved. The pastor will tell them how. These Christians, they got the message. They understood it. I pray you help them hide it in their heart. May the Spirit of God bear witness to whatever part of it is specifically necessary for whoever. Thank you for the privilege to preach here this week. Bless these precious folks. Use them mightily. Keep us safe as we go. I know we'll see each other again, here, there, or in the air. We're leaving that up to you. I love you tonight, Lord. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you come.
Amen, amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What a great way to end this week, just to be reminded of all that we've been given. We have really been blessed in this church. Good doctrine. Pastor Mel and others that came years and years ago made a lot of sacrifices just to make sure that this church got established on solid ground. And I thank God for all those, the lean years, you know, in the beginning, the people that came and sacrificed just to help this church get established. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. And I know some of you saved recently and you don't know that heritage. You don't know what maybe God has done for this church, but you have a heritage in Jesus Christ, just like everyone else in this room. We have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You've been given much, every one of us. Now, we complain a lot, but if we would just stop and just take stock of what we have in Jesus Christ, we'd complain a lot less. If we would just truly understand and appreciate what we've been given. We've been forgiven much. Amen? We've been forgiven much. God's been good to us. God's shown us mercy. How many times in your life can you think back that if God had been severe with you, like you deserved Him to be, if God had been, if there hadn't been love and mercy, if God had just been a God of justice, how many of us would even be sitting here tonight? How many times has God been kind to you when you were in sin? As a Christian even. He's blessed us. There's not one of us in this room tonight have anything to complain about or gripe about or be ungrateful to God about. He's been good to us. Some of you have beautiful children sitting beside you tonight. God's blessed you. You have a wife that loves you or a husband that loves you. You've been taught good doctrine in this place. And we thank the Lord for that. We have enough tonight. Even if you don't have a dime in the bank, you have enough tonight, you ought to be able to jump up and down and shout and run around this room. Because if Jesus came tonight, then it wouldn't matter whether you had a dime or not. You're rich. You're rich. And you're loved a lot. You are loved much tonight. Saved or lost in this room, you're loved much. That's an incredible blessing. I guess I've known people in life, met them, talked to them, and they couldn't think of one person that actually loved them. You ever met someone like that? Never really had anybody show them any love in life? No, you know, not a mother or father that really expressed love, not a friend that really loved them. I met a few like that. Couldn't think of anybody that really loved them. And it was a blessing to tell them, well, I know somebody. I know somebody that loves you and you don't even realize it. And friend, you are loved much. David said in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. That's the way I feel. Ever feel like your cup is just so full of just of God's goodness and blessings, it just runs over on the floor? And we'd all feel that way if we just stop and count our blessings. You know, we get busy, we don't think about it, but we just stop and consider it. We'd realize God has been so good to us. What shall we render unto Him for all His benefits to us? Right? Take the cup of salvation. Call upon His name. If you're saved in here, you know what you can render unto Him. You can love Him. You can praise Him. You can serve Him more faithfully. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you know what you can render unto Him for all God's goodness to you? You can take that cup of salvation. you can receive that gift of God, which is eternal life. The Bible says that you cannot earn your salvation. The Bible makes that clear. Religion does not teach that message. Religion teaches you that it's up to you. You've got to earn it, you've got to live it, you've got to deserve it, you've got to be faithful, and in the end, perhaps you'll make it. That's a message from hell. That's not a message from the Bible. The message from the Bible is Jesus paid it all. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, the Lord Jesus Christ would save you tonight if you would only ask Him. It's a free gift, and God will apply what Jesus Christ did on the cross to your debt. That sin debt that you owe, that penalty, that punishment that hangs over your head, the wrath of God that abideth on you. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. God would apply what His Son did on the cross to your sin and give you His gift of eternal life. Maybe you're here tonight and that's what you need. Maybe you're here tonight and if you died tonight, you're not sure that you'd go to heaven. Tonight, you can be sure. You can have your sins forgiven. You can become a part of what the preacher was talking about tonight. That cloud of witnesses, all those millions and millions of saints that have gone before us, those men and women just like us in this room who came to trust in Jesus Christ like we have, lived their lives, came to the end of their course, and entered into their rewards. What a number to be a part of. Amen? Man, maybe you're here tonight and that's what you need. If you're here and you're not saved, that is what you need. You need to trust Jesus Christ tonight. And there's no better place and there's no better time for you to do that. There are people in this room that will be praying for you. And we'll be happy to take the time as the service is dismissed and talk to you, open a Bible, just show you briefly out of the Word of God how you can settle it and be sure when you leave this place tonight that you have everlasting life, that your sins are forgiven. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I just wonder, is it possible there's someone like that tonight? You'd say, I know I need to be saved, and I would appreciate if you prayed for me tonight. Anyone here like that tonight? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Anyone at all? Did God speak to your heart tonight? Did you realize tonight that you're not saved, that you need to be saved? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Are you absolutely sure? If you're not certain, then you can settle it tonight. Is there anyone like that at all? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Anyone at all? Could we pray for you this evening? Do you need to be saved? Do you realize it tonight? Would you trust Jesus Christ tonight? All right. Well, Christian, I hope God spoke to your heart tonight. I hope He just reminded you of His goodness, of His blessings. And I hope tonight as we end this conference that we could just collectively just thank the Lord and praise the Lord for all that He has given us and done for us. And that it would make you want to just live more faithfully for Him. Our Father, we thank You so much for the message tonight. Father, we thank You for the whole week, for the marriage seminar at the beginning and the messages that You've given us all this week. Thank You, Lord, for the good that You've done in our homes and in our hearts here. And Father, we are in Your debt. Thank You, Lord, for the reminder to us of our heritage. Thank You, Lord, for what You did in establishing this work in this place, for the men and women that You use, some of whom are still here. And Lord, we thank You for Brother Mel and the burden, the vision that You put in his heart. And we think of him tonight also, Lord, that You would just encourage him and help him, Lord, and Jean. And Father, thank You for how You've blessed us. Thank You for our Bible. Thank You for men that preach the Word of God truthfully and straight and aren't interested in being applauded. They just want to be faithful to You. Thank You for Brother Spurgeon, men like him. This church has been blessed by having these kind of men in this pulpit. Thank You for the things You've taught us. Lord, more than anything else, we thank You for our Savior. We thank You for the blood that was shed on Calvary for our sins. And I thank You, Lord, that You loved me, my family, and our church as much as You do. Thank You for Your mercy and Your long-suffering with us, because we have sure failed You 1,000 times. But thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that when we fail you, you still love us. And thank you, Lord, that you're willing always just to pick us up and help us get going again. And Lord, I pray you'd meet the need in the hearts of every believer here tonight, whatever it might be. I hope every heart has been stirred, Lord, just to appreciate what we've been given. And Lord, I pray that when we leave this place tonight, there'd be a desire in our heart, Lord, just to get closer to you and to love you more and serve you more, to be more faithful, to read your word more, to tell the gospel more, to talk of Jesus Christ to people more. Help us in that, Lord. And Father, if there should be someone here tonight that's going to walk out of that door and they're still lost, Lord, I pray you'd help them, Lord. Please just show them what a tragic mistake that would be to turn away from such a precious gift, from so great salvation. They could have it tonight, Lord. They could have you tonight if they would only listen, if they would only ask. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them tonight. And we thank you, and we pray these things and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Pat, I'm going to ask you if you'll come. We're going to stand together and let's just sing. Let's sing something tonight and just praise the Lord. All right, let's stand together, get a hymn book, and we're just going to thank the Lord tonight and praise Him tonight for all He's given us. Have you been blessed this week?
Amen.
It's been a great week. Amen.
Amen.
Preaching every night. Now, Brother Dave said this is the longest meeting that he has ever had with a church. And but I said before, I think, well, we need it probably more than anybody else. So it's been good for us. But if you've been blessed, not only just let the preacher know you appreciate how God used him, but also don't forget to be just praise the Lord tonight. Thank the Lord, too, for what He's giving you. Amen. What can we sing, brother?
352.
352? All right.
Yeah, at a moment.